Blog Talk Radio.
The merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, and I bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, and I would like to greet all of you in our greeting words of peace, Assalamu alaikum, which simply means peace be unto you, and welcome to Nation Building Presents. And tonight our topic is why the black woman refuses to submit. But before we get into our topic, I would like to take the time to thank our listening audience, those of you who are joining us in the various chat rooms, as well as those of you who are joining us online. It is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to present to you a very distinguished group of young brothers who have agreed to so graciously join me on this topic. And before we move on, I want to inform the listening audience that this is part one. We are getting the brothers' point of view this week. And, of course, next week we'll be joined by our mighty sisters on this same topic. So I pray that you all will listen so that you can get the full gist of both parts. So before we introduce our panelists, I would like to just acknowledge my engineer tonight, my vice president, my brother, my friend, Brother Kareem N. Muhammad from St. Louis, Missouri. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen, and thank you very, very much. As always, it is indeed an honor to have the opportunity to serve.
All praise is due to Allah. Okay, did we get Brother Tony on the phone?
I'm working on it right now. We'll see what we get.
Okay.
It's still going to his voicemail evidently. Yeah, it just dropped again.
Okay, all right, let me see if I can catch him on Facebook. All right, well, before we move on into our topic, of course, I want to introduce the panelists that we have here thus far. And I'm going to start with Bishop Zachariah T. Davis from St. Louis, Missouri. Good evening, Brother Bishop. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Sister Ziva. Good evening. Thank you for having
good
me.
Good evening.
Again.
And, you know, this is not, you know, this is like your third time with us, so it's not like you're introducing yourself, but please present yourself once again and just give us a little tidbit of information about you.
Okay, sure. No problem. First of all, I'd like to say thank you again for having me on the program. I've enjoyed every time being with you all, learning a lot, yet a lot to learn. I am Bishop Zachariah Davis. I am the senior pastor of the City of Faith Metropolitan Church here in the wonderful city of St. Louis, Missouri. I am married with four children and just glad to be a part of the broadcast.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And thank you once again, Brother Bishop Zachariah, for coming on and participating so graciously and so willingly. Thank you so much. And, of course, next up on the panel, we have our five-star general from the Defenders of Farrakhan, my beloved Brother Maurice Muhammad, front and center soldier. Go ahead and present yourself. You need no introduction.
Assalamu alaikum, Queen.
Assalamu alaikum, sir.
It's always a pleasure to be back here on the show, to be able to serve our people. And, again, being on the team of defending the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is always a pleasure to serve, and I'm looking forward to this good educational conversation that we're about to have.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. And next we have with us the young man, young brother who called me a couple of weeks ago or better and asked me to do this show. I'm putting him on the spot. So, hey, don't shoot me. I'm just a messenger. He asked me to do this show, and I was really working hard the last couple of weeks to kind of piece it together to try to figure out an angle. So he's going to introduce himself, and he's going to tell us why he felt that this was a subject that needed to be discussed. So it is my distinct pleasure to introduce to you Brother Jihad Ali, F-O-I. Brother Jihad, assalamu alaikum, sir.
Walaikum salam, Queen. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
I would like to just say that my name is Jihad Ali. I'm a four-star general, Defenders of Farrakhan. And I just felt like this show, or this topic in particular, is important because of the fact that a lot of our sisters really don't understand the importance of submitting. As a matter of fact, they don't even know what it really means to submit. And if they do know what it means to submit, they don't know who they should submit to. So it's just very important that we have this discussion because a lot of our sisters are submitting to the wrong type of brother. And it's very important that we as FOI or as any man of God, we should know who our women are submitting to and are they even worthy of submitting to such men who are out here these days who aren't worthy of submitting to or not worthy of being praised much of. So I just found this show really important. So I had to call up my sister, let her know, like, yeah, we need to talk on this topic. It's real important.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jihad. And, of course, it is my pleasure to always serve. So anything that I can do to help out my nation, you know I will. Okay. Brother Kareem, I am sending you a message now. Evidently, I gave you the wrong number, but Brother Tony just text me the correct number, so I'll put it in your inbox. So can we? Oh, he's on the phone. He's on the phone.
Yeah, I see him
we
now.
Got him.
I see him now. I got him up, and I got to get Brother Maurice back on also.
Yeah, he's on.
He's
back on.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. And we have with us finally one of our more controversial brothers, and I'm just picking at him, of course, our beloved brother Tony Muhammad from Joliet, Illinois. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Tony. How are you this evening?
Well, alaikum, ma'am. I'm doing just wonderful. I would like to thank you for inviting me on once again. And it's a pleasure to be involved in such a powerful topic, and I think it's, just like the minister has said, it's timely. And I think our discussion will help us to find out what must be done, so to speak.
Okay. Here we go.
Still on?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Can you hear us?
Yes, ma'am, I can. I can now.
Oh, okay. I was asking you to tell the listening audience something about yourself.
Well, I'm Brother Tony Muhammad of Joliet. Been in the nation quite a few years. I've held quite a few posts in the nation. Allah has blessed me to work in the cause and to help to establish quite a few mosques and study groups in the Midwestern area. I was been married previously, and I was married 17 years. So I have a little bit of experience in this field, I think. Personal experience, anyway.
What is it? All right. So, Gibbs, we're having some technical difficulties.
Okay, here I go. I'm sorry. I was trying to multitask, and thank you for that, Brother Tony. Okay, all right. This is what we're going to do. We're going to have some talking points. And, of course, I want to get each of your perspectives on these particular points. So we're going to start with you, Brother Jihad Ali, since this is your topic that you asked me to discuss. So I want to know from you, what is it that you saw in women besides them submitting to the wrong man, as you earlier stated, that you felt that this needs to be addressed?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I see that a lot of so-called brothers like to use the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, Supreme Wisdom, et cetera, as really a cover-up to shield their dirty agenda. And what I mean is, like, for example, you may have one who isn't, and mainly I'm talking about on social media, but you may have one who isn't a member of the Nation of Islam under the guidance of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, who is in another quote-unquote camp. But this individual will put up pictures and quotes of the minister to try to lure sisters who are under the minister in the into his arena of deception. And when he does that, she doesn't know any better because of the fact that she's looking for a man. And we're taught that, you know, the sisters were, they're automatically attracted to the attracting power of an FOY, or even one who claims to be an FOY. They're already attracted to that. So when the brother pulls her in and then he reveals his true agenda, it's like she's so caught up now into his persona or his swag or whatever you call it, to the point where it's like, okay, well, she can't leave him. And now he's starting to plant seeds of deception in her mind in regard to the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. For example, I know this sister, and she turned, I guess you could say she turned hypocrite because of the fact that she got involved with the wrong brother, and he led her out of the mosque into this arena now where she feels as if the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is a hypocrite. So these type of individuals have that power, but they try to mask it under as if they're FOI under our guidance. And that actually falls on our fault because we can't allow that as men under the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan to allow these liars to come amongst our women and bring them out of their safe haven, which is the Nation of Islam. So there's been plenty of scenarios of this actually happened, and it's been going unchecked. And a lot of times because of the fact that, you know, that's where we got to look at the sisters, because of the fact that they too should know, like, this brother isn't who he say he is. And they should know that, or they should be strong enough in their willpower to reject the devil or reject these type of individuals when they come slandering the minister, regardless of how quote-unquote cute he is, regardless of how fine his suit look on him or anything like that. They have to have that strong willpower to reject him. And that's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that no sister should be trying to talk to a brother who is not for him, who is not actually living these teachings, or who, I'm paraphrasing, but who is not under his proper guidance. And his proper guidance now is the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. So that's what I've been seeing, and that's what needs to be addressed.
Okay. All right. Okay, so let me go to Brother Bishop. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Okay, so when we talk about the submission of the woman, now I know Brother Jihad brought it from a faith-based place or point of view, but when we're talking about the submission of a woman, what do you see that's lacking in women today that just will not allow them to submit?
Well, I'll say that there are a cadre of things that we can talk about, and we may touch a number of them on tonight when it comes to the woman being submissive to the man. And usually, oftentimes, I find in my arena of faith tradition, usually the problem with a woman being submissive is usually because she has never seen it done before. As African Americans, we are very big on passing traditions from one generation to the next, and usually these traditions are held very tightly by our families, and it could just be a family tradition or a faith tradition. We are very good for passing traditions to the next generation, and some of them are good, some of them are bad, and usually, if there's an issue with a woman submitting to the male factor or the man, it is usually because she has never seen it modeled by her mother or other women in her family. And so because it has never been modeled, then there is nothing she can draw from, or nothing that she can, model herself after, because she has never seen it actually acted out. And that could be for a number of different reasons. There may have been no father in the home. The family may be, you know, short, or there may be a shortage of men in the family. And whether it's a shortage of men because the men aren't doing anything, or whether it's a shortage of men because they just don't have a lot of men in the family, if there's no proper model, then there's nothing she can pull from. And so if she has not seen this done before, then how is it that she can turn around now and then submit herself to a man that she's married? And then, you know, the worst case oftentimes is when there is a man in the picture in the family, and her mother may have been a dominant figure, of more dominant than her father, then again, that therein is a tradition or a trait that is passed on to her, which will probably end up being passed on to her daughters. In the Christian world, we are getting better at, I won't say we have perfected it, but we are getting better at teaching men, number two is my second point, teaching men how to be men. And oftentimes, you know, my wife says this, we talk about this quite regularly, you know, if a woman is going to submit, there needs to be something that she can submit to. He has to have some type of foundation, some type of belief, no matter what his faith tradition is. He has to have some type of foundation that this woman can submit to. And it is very difficult for a woman to submit to something that is nothing. So we are doing better in the Christian tradition of teaching men, and I'll say this in the last, and because I am a Christian pastor, I don't think we have done the best job, but we, in the last, I'd say in the last 20 years, we've seen a strong uprising in the Christian tradition of teaching men how to take their proper place in their home and be the men that they're supposed to be. And if you want your family to respect you, if you want your family to love you in the proper way, then there's a way you have to carry yourself as a man. Not only are you the protector, you're the provider. And so you have to give a woman, and I'll go ahead on and go here quickly. I may get in trouble tonight, especially a black woman. You have to give her something to submit to. I won't say it's all her fault that she does not submit. And like I said, there's a cadre of things that we'll talk about throughout the night that, you know, we may see in black women as far as why they won't submit or what the reason is. It's probably different for every woman in every different case, but she has to have something to submit herself to. And she has to be able to see it and respect it. So, you know, that's my opening remarks, you know, concerning what we see in black women. I don't think it's all just the black woman. You know, I think there's a great deal that the black man has to do in order to receive this submission.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Bishop. And I'm going to go to Brother Tony.
Yes,
Brother Tony, what is it that you recognize that will make you agree or even disagree, if you would, with this subject matter? Do you think there's a problem with the black woman submitting?
I would like to respond in three parts. First part, I want to make a couple of quotes. This first quote is from one of our scholars, Dr. John Henry Clark. And John Henry Clark said, the event that transpired 5,000 years ago, 5 years ago, or 5 minutes ago, have determined what will happen 5 minutes from now, 5 years from now, or 5,000 years from now. All history is current. Martin Luther King said, the tragedy of history is not the actions of bad people, but the appalling silence of good people. History has a direct effect on why the black woman is not submitting. And the black woman can't submit naturally. She would have to be a supernatural woman to submit to the black man at this current time in history. Let me explain why. The black men and women were a people who were attacked. War was raised on the black man and woman. The black man was captured. He was destroyed. He was stripped, and he was slaughtered. And this left his women and children at the mercy of the men that waged war against the black man. So the black woman was taken from the possession, from the protection, and from the maintenance of the black man. Now she gets her sustenance, she gets her protection, she gets her maintenance from a man that is other than her own kind. So she submits to the man that provides her maintenance, her security, and her protection. So for the black man to request the black woman to submit to him is just like a man being in the penitentiary asking his woman who is providing for herself in the free world to submit to her, him, and he's locked up and he's under the possession of another man. So it's not natural for a woman to submit to a man that is not provided for her. Donald Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that the black man has the power to make the black woman a Muslim. He said because a Muslim is one who is made secure, and by being made secure, he enters into peace. So the black man is not securing the black woman. His own sustenance comes from his natural and historical enemy. And if the black woman needs something, he has to go to his historical enemy to get the thing that the black woman needs. So why should she submit to him? A little bit more recent history. When I was a little boy, it was a group called the Blackstone Rangers. They were ran by Jeff Fort, who was the Tookie Williams of the Midwest. Jeff Fort gathered a group of men, and they took over the inner city. They took over the ghetto. Then they took the black woman and made her members of the Blackstone Rangers and called them Rangerettes. In the 80s, the black gangsters did the same thing, and they produced what is called gangster girls or gangster women. So how come we as righteous men can't come together and produce something for ourselves where we can maintain and provide for the needs of our women? The black man hasn't gathered 6 or 10 brothers together to open up a candy store to satisfy the black woman's sweet tooth. He satisfies none of her needs. And until we come together, like all other men on the planet, the black man, the brown man, the red man, and the yellow man, and provide for our women the way that they provide for theirs, we will never be respected by our women. We will never be honored by our women, and she will never submit to us. Now, in contrast to that, real quickly, there are some supernatural women out here. And the scripture says that there will be a few that will submit to a few good men. But holistically, this is something that cannot take place until the black man changes the structure that he is submitted to in this current period of time.
Okay. Wow. You know what? The reason why I'm laughing is because Brother Tony told me that he was going to surprise me tonight, and I am totally surprised because I was under the impression that Brother Tony was a male chauvinist. But I'm glad to find out that I was wrong, Brother
Tony. You owe me a cup of coffee.
I sure do. I absolutely do. I absolutely do. And I'm going to make sure you get that cup of coffee. It's on me. Praise be to Allah. Okay. Did we lose Brother Maurice again? Brother Kareem?
We got him back. We got him back. I just made his mic live.
Okay, Brother Maurice, the same question for you.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Praise be to Allah. I like to start off just by saying by nature, the woman naturally submits to the man. But unfortunately, what we have here in America is a big role reversal where, you know, you can go out and go to different establishments and you'll see the black woman working or more black women working than you do see the black man working. And if we go back to roots where Kunta Kinte were talking to Santa and the Bonds, and he was trying to get Santa to run and go with him. And she said, no, I'm Martha's now. I'm Martha's now. Two things can't rule and occupy the same space at the same time. And right now you have a system in which the enemy is still Martha, even to our woman. And if we cannot protect our woman, then naturally there's a loss of respect. That I heard a woman, a sister and a brother arguing just today, and he called the sister the female part of her body of her body, called her vagina, and she told him, why don't you suck my penis? But she didn't use the word penis. And the way she said it with authority and might, and I looked at him and he put his head down and walked away. So I went to the brother and I told him, and got her and I told them both, we can't have this. We can't have you two arguing like this, first of all, in public, and then degrading yourselves like this. This is, and it sounded like that was her husband. And because he didn't have a job, you know, and she was paying the bills, so she felt as though she could say any damn thing she wanted to say. But I asked her, if another man came and bust you in your face, what would you do? She said, I would try to fight back, then I would look to my husband. I said, well, what kind of husband will you have if you keep beating him down with your mouth like that? And then she saw that and understood. So we got to really work on who we are and why we are the way that we are, because we have been subverted as a people. And we have to change that around. Thank you.
Wow. Okay. Well, I now feel so odd because I'm the only sister here. Okay, I've listened to everything that everyone said, and I'm going to go back to what Brother Jihad said, because Brother Jihad, your comment was very specific. You were speaking specifically to MGT and FOI and people who are perpetrating to be FOI and they're not. And they are turning, some of the MGT against the minister and against the teaching. As a woman, as an older woman, I want to say this, if you will allow me. How can I put this? When you are rooted in your faith, when you have a personal relationship with Allah, then no one can uproot you from your faith. You make a choice. And I know a lot of the brothers, you know, they're saying that these brothers are misleading these sisters, and then they get them out there, and then they find out that they're not FOI, and they get caught up. And that's true. But when it comes to your faith, when it comes to your salvation, not even your FOI husband can give you that. Not even your FOI husband can bring you to salvation. He can help you. It helps to have a believing spouse. But let me tell you something. When Allah gets ready to judge, he's going to judge her by herself and him by himself. Now, as far as the FOI are concerned, there are a lot of brothers out there who are perpetrating the fraud. I run into them every day. And I just, if you all don't know the protocol, I'm going to share it with you. You know, to me, there's no such thing as forming a courtship in social media. If someone is interested in you, and I'm talking to the sisters in particularly, if someone is interested in you, and if you want to find out if they're FOI or MGT, then follow the protocol. That's your protection. The protocol is that, brother, if you're interested in me, I'm at mosque number so-and-so. Have your captain contact my captain. If the brother say, I don't know what you're talking about, then you know which one you have. That's simple. That's simple. It doesn't take a lot of conversation to find out who is who. I think oftentimes, you know, how can I say this? My sisters get mad at me. Out of desperation, out of loneliness, out of that lack of companionship, sisters do have a tendency to engage. A lot of sisters get caught up because they might know that a brother's from another camp or whatever, but they're trying to fish him in. But men are the masters of persuasion. A lot of people think that women are, but no, no, no. Don't even get it twisted. Men are the masters of persuasion. And so a woman has to be very, very careful of who she engages herself with, whether she's in the mosque or not. You can run into the wrong type of man regardless of what faith that you may be. So, you know, but for the MTT in particularly, if a brother wants to court you, he see you, your pretty face on Facebook, just tell him, follow the protocol, brother. I'm at mosque number 45. This is my captain, Captain Steve Muhammad. Contact him, and I'll holler at you later. And that's it. That's it. It's plain and simple. And if they go outside of the protocol, trust and believe me, it's by choice. Because no one is forced in their hand. So that's what I wanted to say to that. And then, Brother Maurice, your experience, wow. I don't even know what to say. But what I am going to do, Brother Kareem, let's take some questions from the audience, and I'm going to think about what Brother Maurice and Brother Tony said, and I'll come back with a comment. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. All right, we're going to take some questions from our audience now, our listening audience. Area code 813, your mic is live. Area code 813.
Is that Brother James? His phone probably is on mute.
Yes, this is he. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, beloved.
How's everyone? Brother Kareem, the Queen Aziza. I hear my brother Maurice and brother Tony, and I hope I'm not missing anyone. I just wanted to give you all the greetings. I just tuned in. I didn't realize I was going to get called on so quickly.
Yes, sir. Brother Bishop Davis here as well.
Brother Bishop Davis, how are you, dear brother?
He might have stepped away because he sent me a text message, but he's on. And, yes, sir, you have a comment for us, Brother James? You got some words of wisdom for us? We need it right about now.
I think you all are doing very well. There's a number of reasons why it is the way it is according to the theme of your show. There's no one reason. But that word submit is a very, very controversial word when it comes to the women and the men, particularly the black man and the black woman, particularly in the condition that we find ourselves in. The Holy Quran teaches, as I'm sure you all have discussed this, men are the maintainers of women. And, of course, many brothers recite that particular Quranic scripture, and then, of course, many women do also. But the scripture says, in total, men are the maintainers of women in that which Allah has given the man in a higher degree than the woman. It means that the man, by nature, is equipped to maintain the woman better than she is equipped to maintain herself. Men and women are maintainers of each other in that which Allah has given them according to the nature in which they are created. The man's ability is to maintain the woman so that she will feel secure, be secure. That is to say, that she will defer to the man, his administration of her affairs, for her protection and for her guidance. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said several years ago in an article he wrote in the Final Call newspaper, unfortunately I don't know which issue, that he was referencing the Willie Lynch syndrome, and he was referencing how a slave was made and what the black man was subject to be made into a slave, and what the woman was subject to as she had to observe the process by which the black man was made a slave. He said that she had become, as a result of observing that process, psychologically frozen. And he explained that to mean that the woman's psyche, by nature, her psychological makeup is by nature to incline towards, again, the protection of her man, the administration of her man, and the guidance and leadership of her man. However, in the process of making the black man a slave, he had to be reduced to a level of defenselessness that would absolutely confuse psychologically the black woman. Here now, her nature is inclined to lean toward and to look to the man for her protection. But what the slave master subjected the black man to, it manifested he couldn't protect himself. And if he couldn't protect himself, then he couldn't protect her. And if he can't protect her, he certainly cannot lead her, and she certainly is not inclined to lean toward him or to look to him for the administration of her affairs. We have to remember this is a process that took several generations, over 100 years of this kind of condition, over 100 years of this kind of subjection and observation on the part of our women. After a while, it became second nature as a protective device, a defensive mechanism for the woman to now begin to raise her male children to keep their head down, to not rise up against the master, to not speak harshly against the master or talk back to the master because it meant death. And so what you find now is the residual effects of that kind of condition in the woman. And so there's an axiom or a phrase that is commonly said in the black community as well in other communities, says women raise their daughters and they love their sons. That is to say that women are inclined to love their sons, to coddle their sons, to baby their sons, but to teach their daughters that they have to be responsible, they have to be independent, they cannot rely upon a man for what they need and for what they want. And this is why you find, one of the reasons why you find more black women going to college than black men, more black women shouldering the responsibilities of the family and the head of the house than black men. There are reasons, there are causative factors for this. So this condition now being developed over generations of time, decades of time, has created a condition where the black woman is reluctant to submit to the man that her observation, the memories of her genetic past, dictate to her that he is not the man that is capable of protecting her, administrating over her affairs, or the one that she should look to for guidance and leadership. And, of course, the economy, particularly in America, does not help this. Racism does not help this because the enemy's agenda is to destroy the black man, and the woman has become a complacent in that and has become a co-partner in crime in that out of her ignorance because she doesn't in general understand why the black man is as he is. You see? So, when you talk about submit, submission is not something that makes one necessarily lesser than the other. But you cannot talk about submission except when we are manifesting the role and the nature in which Allah God created us, and we're handling the responsibilities that are imposed on us by the nature in which Allah God created us. We don't have men like that, you see, at this time. Maybe a few. I'm not going to say we don't have any. So the black woman is not necessarily inclined to submit to the black man in the condition he is in. And even when she finds a man that may be handling his affair and demonstrating his capability to handle others, she's distrustful. And not only is she distrustful, but it's been so far and few between that men come into the woman's life like that, she has very few examples to follow. So she has to learn, relearn, actually, how to defer to the men for these things in her life. So it's not her fault. And it's really not the black man's fault for the condition he's in, but it is the black man's fault to maintain that condition that we are in because there's a way out of it. So it's not our fault for becoming like that, but it's certainly our fault for remaining like that. I don't even like to talk about, I'll be quite frank with you, with my wife, and she's an MGT, and I think one of an exemplary MGT, but I don't even talk about submission with her. I don't broach that, I don't approach that word. And the reason is because she naturally does it. She naturally does it until I mess up. And I do mess up. And then when I mess up, truth becomes the head of the house. Not me or her, but truth and right guidance becomes the head of the house. And that's something that we all have to submit to. If you want to talk about submission, talk about how truth and right guidance is the head to which we should submit in any circumstance. So submission, it's, look, let me do what Allah God requires of me to do, and you do what Allah God requires you to do. And in terms of women becoming disenchanted with the minister, I think I heard that statement made, becoming disenchanted with the nation because they were deceived by a brother perpetrating to be an FOI. Well, what is an FOI? An FOI, it's an acronym that represents the fruit of Islam. Well, what is the fruit? What is a fruit? And, of course, we can say what we're taught in our class, a fruit is the best, but I don't wish to recite that. A fruit is the end product of a tree. It being the end product of a tree, you don't arrive at fruit except that you go through a lengthy process. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that the NGT and the FOI are the fruit of this. For months, some of us for days.
Okay, Brother James, your phone is breaking up for some reason.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let me close out, you know. Let me close out with this. Y'all don't know it, but that's Queen Aziz's code for me to tell me, brother, you're taking too long.
No, No, your phone is going out.
I'm just messing with you. You know, I gotta get that in. But at any rate, this is a process for any sister that has become disappointed with an FOI who is not yet manifesting the perfection of the fruit of Islam, the end product of the practice of Islam. Or any FOI who has become disappointed with the MGT, who also is a fruit of Islam or the end product of Islam. Give it time. It's a process. It's a process. And as we were made like we are, that didn't take a short time. That was over periods of centuries. That reduced us to what we are, then it's going to take some time to get us back to where we should be, the manifestation of God in person. All right? So to my sisters who are listening, I'm not going to use the word submit. I'm only going to say to do that which Allah, God, commands you to do according to the nature in which you are created. And while it is difficult to do it, if the man is not doing that which Allah imposed on him to do by the nature in which he's created, your ultimate responsibility is to obey God and not obey him. So you don't get off the hook when you know what to do, but you refuse to do it. Because your man is not doing what he is supposed to do. No, both of us have to be answerable to God. And you cannot give Allah God the excuse that you didn't do what he commands you to do because your husband or your man is not doing what he commanded him to do. No, your obligation first and foremost is to Allah God. And when you know better, you do better. Because ultimately, you will have to answer to him. That goes for both of us. So thank you, Queen, for allowing me the time.
Absolutely, Brother James. And thank you for calling in. I told you were going to speak tonight. But thank you so much, and that was some good information.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
All praises
to our Lord. Okay, let me get back to this talking point right quick, because I want to cover as much as I can before we get out of here. Okay, so Brother James brought up Witty Lynch, so he kind of covered that aspect of it for me as far as what we have been through and experienced historically during the slave period. But then, you know, that has perpetuated on throughout the years. And so when we're talking about the conditioning of a woman, the lack of protection of women, you know, I want to get your point of view on a woman being conditioned by white men or wrong men, conditioned by non-believing men, people who don't practice any kind of faith, you know, people who are just out here just existing, just, you know, living life day to day. They don't have no God in them whatsoever. And then I want to talk about this unique relationship with homosexual males and women, because women have a tendency not to, let me try to be politically correct, even though y'all know that's not my style. They have a tendency to befriend a man who is a homosexual more so than men, which is natural. I understand that resistance. And sometimes, you know, me being a behavioral scientist, I've had the privilege of examining relationships under all kinds of auspices, things that you would not believe. And it was surprising for me to learn a long time ago that homosexual males actually have a very profound effect on heterosexual women when it comes to their relationships, because they treat them like girlfriends, and so they talk openly about their relationships, and they are allowing their homosexual friends to give them advice. Now, you know, live and let live. However, when you're getting advice from a person who, how can I put it, moral character may be in question, I want to find out from you gentlemen, do you think that is also a problem with why women do not submit those outside influences? And I'm talking about those particular relationships on the job, with non-believing people, people who don't have any faith, with women who may be bitter, and what was the other one? Oh, and the quiet admirers. When you have a man that's so-called your friend and you can go and talk to him and he's telling you how you need to leave your man and how he's not worthy of you, only he's trying to woo you, but he's doing it under the auspices of being just a good friend. So that's what you call a quiet admirer. So how do you think those things affect the woman, you know, and how she treats her man and how she responds to her man? And I'm going to start with you, Bishop Davis. Bishop Davis, are you there? Okay.
I'm here, Queen. I'm sorry. I had my phone on mute, and I was having trouble pulling it off. well, first of all, if I could, for just a moment, you know, talk about this, I guess, relationship per se, or this pulling that sometimes women have to homosexual men. First of all, you know, my teaching when it, in regards to homosexual men or lesbian women, what have you, my teaching according to scripture is that it is wrong for them to participate, you know, or even indulge in those types of activities. It is a sin, according to my teaching, based on Holy Scripture. And so with that being the backdrop of what I'd like to say, you know, people will be people, and because of homosexuals, you know, have feminine traits that they portray, you know, then one would, you know, could see how a woman could perhaps be pulled in that direction, because I guess she feels as though there is a kindred between her and this gentleman, because he is effeminate, as the Bible says, you know, are displaying feminine qualities. I personally, you know, from my own stance, I personally would, you know, teach my daughters, per se, to not be pulled away in that direction. Because, number one, these particular individuals, and I'm not downing them as persons, let me say that, I'm not downing them as persons, just their practice of life I don't agree with. And because of the way they choose to practice their sexuality, and because it is wrong based on my biblical belief, and since I am trying to raise a family according to the Bible, I would have a problem as both a father of three girls and a husband and a person who has I have five sisters. So I would have a problem with the female gender in my family pulling to a homosexual man to get whatever advice they need, because number one, this person is living under a very strong delusion. So in them living under this strong delusion or living in sin, then what good advice? I understand, you know, based on where you may be in life, you know, you may be hurt by your boyfriend or you may be having, you know, issues or what have you, but what real good sound advice could this person give you? Now, you know, of course, you know, the flip side of that is, and I'll share this with, you know, the audience. The flip side of that is I have a brother who is homosexual, and he practices the homosexual lifestyle. And him and I, you know, we've had, you know, words with one another, you know, concerning his lifestyle and my disagreement with it. You know, however, I've come to the place, you know, as I've shared with him, you know, I'm going to love you as my brother. You know, I may not agree with your lifestyle, you know, and we may not have fellowship like I would like for us to, but I'm going to love you as my brother. But in the same token, you know, just because you're my brother does not mean that this lifestyle is right. And so if a person is under this strong delusion, you know, or they're living this lifestyle that is not right according to Scripture, then what soundness, how could they help you get past whatever issue you may have? You know, at best, the advice that they could give you could only be temporal or for a fleeting moment. Nothing sound enough to help you through life's toughest difficulties. So that would be my issue with my wife or my daughters or my sisters pulling away to a effeminate man or homosexual to get advice on their relationship. I've heard homosexuals say, you know, well, I'm a man, so I know a man. Well, if you're being a homosexual, you know, and you're living under this delusion, and you have these effeminate ways, and acting in a feminine nature, then you're not living as a man. So you can't,
right.
you cannot give my wife or my daughters or my sisters sound proper advice or guidance when it comes to their relationship with me. So I would have a problem. I would have a problem with that pool, you know, or that tub that, and I see it quite often, you know, especially in the vicinity that I live in the St. Louis area. There is an abundance of homosexual or lesbian activity in this area, and the abundance is very open and in your face. You know, me being from the South and being from Texas, you know, it's not it's becoming more open now. You know, the mayor of Houston is lesbian or what have you, but you know, coming from where I come from, you just weren't that open, you know, about that or those issues. Well, where I live at now, it's in great abundance. The spirit of homosexuality runs rampant, you know, and lesbianism runs rampant through the St. Louis area. So, you know, and I see, you know, women, you know, who call homosexual men their best friends all the time here in this area. So, yeah, I would have a problem with them being pulled, you know, or drawn into those kinds of relationships. Because, again, what sound advice, what good guidance could this person give you if they're living under a delusion, a strong one at that, because they're not being who they're really supposed to be?
That's right. I agree. And thank you, Brother Bishop, for that. Okay, and Brother Maurice, what about those outside influences, such as homosexual friends or corporate America or quiet admirers or bitter women? What do you think is the part of the influences of women and could be a possible reason why women don't submit?
And that's a very real thing. And unfortunately, it's real. And we all have to understand that there comes a price when you let outside influences affect what goes on in your relationships, in your marriages. And depending on the type of individual that you're dealing with, it could be a deadly consequence. When you look at a homosexual, how in the hell is a homosexual going to give advice to a married woman on how she should truly be to her husband? He don't know how he should be to himself. He's already out of order. So he don't have a right to give anybody no advice to be somebody good to be listening to. People have to really look at, who is this person I'm getting advice from? Is this person's situation any better than mine? Or is this person's situation worse than mine? Because, you know, a poor person can't tell you how to be a millionaire if they ain't never been there. So that getting advice for somebody like that is a waste of time. And one other thing that happens is when our sisters listen to this foolishness and, you know, they begin to feel pretty good about themselves, then they begin to think that I'm better than you, because the enemy gives me a job, but he won't give you one. So now I'm better because you don't have any value. That's a dangerous thing to even think and contemplate on. But our sisters, because like I said earlier, you know, as a people we've been subverted, we're looking at wrong and thinking it's right, where we really have to come back to our nature and come back to what we know for a fact is right. Because all of us have a conscience within. And it doesn't take somebody else telling you, you shouldn't talk to your husband like that, or you shouldn't do this. Your nature tells you, you shouldn't do that. But because you feel in yourself, you think that can go on, and then next thing you know, if you with a certain kind of man, he'd be busting you up in your mouth. And then that's another wrong. So it's very important that we get these wrongs and get them right so we can understand. And one day, when I was married to my wife, I was picking her up from work, and she was pregnant with our son at this time. And the fool that worked with her, evidently, she she was going to work and saying, you know, we're not getting along too well. Well, it comes find out from him that he's been hitting on her, and he had a nerve to tell me, but kind of tell me in a sly way. He says, yeah, I was talking to this sister. She's pregnant, but, you know, her and her man is not having good relations. But if she wasn't pregnant, I'd have been sleeping with her. And I said, oh, really? And he's like,
oh,
yeah, man.
Oh, that's a quiet admirer. That's a quiet admirer right there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he started talking real funny, like, and it was like, okay. So I couldn't help it, but I bust his teeth out his mouth. And I let him understand that that's a Muslim woman you're talking about, and I'm a Muslim man, and you don't do that. You don't try to insert yourself in somewhere where you have no place to be in, because that can get you dealt with. So I told him, pick up your teeth and go to the dentist, because the next time you talk something sideways out your way to my wife and think you mad enough to come tell me to my face, you may not have a life anymore. So people gotta understand, you don't, we can't play games like that. This is serious business. And people think that it's fun and games, and it's not. You don't mess with a Muslim woman like that. And our women gotta be understanding that the men, the FOI especially, will break somebody's neck for coming into our houses doing some foolishness that they know damn well better, because that stuff will get them dealt with, and we can't have that. We can't. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, sir. Okay, Brother Maurice, go get you a glass of water. I don't want you to have a flashback. Oh, my goodness. Wow, I can't believe you did that, though. Wow, that's really over the top. Okay, I want to hear from Brother Tony. Brother Tony, what about those outside influences?
Well, it's difficult for me to answer without being as we always say, controversial.
Well, you know, that's your nature, dear. That's who you are.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I will say this, Suki. I don't think it has any influence whatsoever. I think we
really
point out a gay, if we point out a diabetic, a glutton, a fornicator, or adulterer, or a thief, it's all sin. And according to the scripture, Jesus coupled them all together. He said, be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. And the question is, what kind of bondage is he talking about? So we can point out some different little things that our women talk to as a result of us not being men. We can point out the little things that our sisters do as a result of us not doing what God's prophet has instructed us to do. We can point out the little soap opera she watched, and the Housewives of Atlanta, and the Basketball Wives, and the rap videos. We can talk about all that. But none of that is going to cure the ills that we continue to suffer as men, as far as our women not honoring and submitting to us. And I'm not the type of brother that is ashamed to say the word loudly, submission, because that's the exact position that God intends for the woman. For a man.
Okay, let me ask a question right quick, Brother Tony, because I want to be clear. When you say submission, give me an example of a submissive woman, if you would.
Well, sister, you know.
I mean, because a lot of cooks
I'm not Muslim, and I'm
gonna tell
I'm
you
not.
Why. We have a lot of people on this phone that are
right.
They are Christians. They are other than Christian or Muslim, and they don't necessarily understand submission because it's not a part of their structural faith base or just their way of life. So if you would, Brother Tony, if you don't mind, give us an example.
I'm going to say it as clearly as I possibly can.
Yes, sir.
Submission is being in obedience to your husband. That's what I mean. And I'm a man that was married. I had 8 daughters, and I'm a say what I teach my daughters. I was a man and a soldier in the Nation of Islam, a FOI, for over 20 years, about 25 years now. I operated under other men for 19 consecutive years. And for those 19 years, if a man called me in the middle of the night and said, "Brother Tony, drive 45 minutes to the mosque and come hold the post all night," I would have to do just that. If he instructed me to go anywhere in this country that I had the means to travel, I would have to do just that without any contradiction. So I teach my daughter, if I, as a man, can submit to the instructions of another man and be in obedience to another man, who may or may not have been my superior, then surely you should be able to submit to your husband, who God gave you specific instructions to submit to. Now, the brother mentioned the Willie Lynch thing. And it's one part that he left out. The part that he left out was, this cycle would continue where the woman would not be in submission to the man. She would be psychologically frozen until a phenomenon takes place. And that phenomenon is men that would rise up and be men and reclaim the woman as his. To reclaim her from the slave master and the slave master's children. And just like the brother just mentioned, he has his wife, just like I did at one time. So I'm not just pointing them out. He had his wife on a plantation, a modern-day plantation. And she was verbally abused, and he was insulted, as we have always been insulted and verbally abused on plantations for 400 years. So the brother did exactly what I would have done. I would have knocked his teeth out. But I'm going to say what the general of the Nation of Islam said to me. There's only one brother in the Nation of Islam that was given the title general. His name is Brother Mike. And he said to me, after I had a squabble with the police for not allowing me to sell a Final Call newspaper, he said, "Well, brother, why didn't you leave?" I said, "Because the earth belongs to the black man. All 139,685,000 square miles of water and 57,255,000 square miles of land. This is ours. He doesn't tell us where to go on our planet." He said, "Brother, what if they were to body slam you? What if they would beat you with their billy clubs and maced you? What if they would strip you down and took your papers and threw them all over the street and emptied your pockets in front of all the people?" He said, what would you have accomplished, brother? He said, "Wouldn't it have been a little bit more easier for you to just walk away and find another portion of the 196,940,000 square miles of land, of earth?" I said, "Yes, sir." That was a lesson. So what would your brother have done if they would have arrested him and put him in jail? Whose protection would the woman have been under then? These type of things are going to continue to take place until the black men in America do exactly what God man has told them to do. That's unite and establish something for yourself. So the woman is justified in telling the man that she got the penis because she's functioning like she got the penis. The man is functioning like a woman, and the Bible says that, and it says it will continue to take place. And those men that allow that to take place, at the end of this, we will be cast upon the sword, as the Bible says in the book of Isaiah. And then God will bring a purification and a man who would reclaim the land and reclaim their women and children.
That's very interesting, Brother Tony. Thank you. Thank you very much. And, of course, not least, but I want to hear from you, Brother Jihad.
Yes, ma'am. Can you go ahead and restate the questions for me, please, Queen?
I just want you to tell me what you think the impact of outside influences like homosexual friends, bitter women, being in corporate America, quiet admirers, you know, those brothers who like your wife and they know she married and they go behind your back and say, well, you know, you could do better, you can get a better man, you know, those type of things. How do they really impact our women in particularly, in your opinion?
Yes, ma'am. I would like to say this. Blindfolded, stuck in the basement, Ray Charles could see that. It's the impact on our women. However, the fact of the matter is this, and I'm going to say this as plainly as I can. If you are a true woman of God, then you will allow no one to have an impact on you like that. Same for you, if you're a true man of God, you wouldn't allow nobody to have an impact on you like that. But you see, that's where we in the black community fall short. You see, we like to lip profess the fact that we're so quote-unquote holy, or we're men and women of God. We like to lip profess Jesus, lip profess Prophet Muhammad, or Minister Farrakhan, or whoever we hold dear to the scriptures. We like to lip profess 24/7. So therefore, since we lip profess and we don't actually put into practice of those men who we say we love, that's when we end up falling short. You a true woman of God, you have no damn business talking to a homosexual. That's just plain and simple. You would, what the hell you got to talk to him about unless you're trying to bring him to the mosque? However, the fact of the matter is, you see, we want to forget about protocol, in particular in the Nation of Islam. We want to forget about protocol. Sisters really, we want to think, I mean, the sisters have this thing as if they can fish in, you know, whoever they want to fish in. But you see, it's like this. You can't turn a hypocrite into a believer. The average brother and sister can't do that. It takes the supreme being, Allah, to turn the hypocrite into a believer. That's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said regarding Malcolm, he said, leave him alone. He will come back. Leave brother alone. Because of the fact that he was so far gone, it took Allah to bring him back if it was Allah's will. It was the same thing with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan when he turned hypocrite. Allah had to come and he brought him back into the stature of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So we have to be very, very, very clear. But you see, we don't want to discuss that which we think. And you see, homosexuals and all that stuff, it has an impact. But like I said, if you're a true woman of God, you don't got no business talking to no homosexual. He has, matter of fact, you shouldn't even have no homosexual friend. I'm going to tell you straight up, I don't have no homosexual friends. I don't have no lesbian friends. I don't want no homosexual friend. I don't want no lesbian friends. Why? Like what brother said, what can they possibly teach me? I know right from wrong. Obviously, the brother or sister is confused when the sister is actually walking around here thinking that she can wear men's boxes and the brother's walking around here trying to wear lipstick and lace. Obviously, they're confused. So what in the world can they possibly offer me? I have something I can offer them, which is truth and salvation, and that's the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but they can't offer me anything. Technically, they're already doomed due to their behavior. If we want to go from the biblical and Quranic point of view, the theological point of view, so there's nothing they can offer me. And there's nothing they can offer you, FOY, or you, MGT, if you are actually practicing that which you say you believe in. So we need to get out this lip professor stage, and we need to stop trying to be friends with everybody who we know damn well is contradicting that which we believe. Same for if you're a true Christian, or a true Jew, or whatever you want to call yourself. You know these people are not for what you represent. You know they hate what you represent. So what do you, I mean, so why are you trying to, you know, befriend them in a way to the point where it's a personal relationship. And you see, and when a brother or a sister comes and say, oh, well, you wrong for doing that. Oh, nah, who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? Blah, blah, blah. But we're not judging. The fact of the matter is we're practicing that which we say we believe in. So if that's wrong, then hell, I'm sorry. We gotta stop that lip professing. And we gotta practice what we preach. We condemn homosexuality. We condemn lesbianism. Why? Because it is against Allah. It's against God and His commandments. There's nothing wrong with saying that. But yet when a brother says that, matter of fact, I'm gonna go in and take it further. Homosexuality is actually condemned by death. But we don't want to teach that. Why? Lesbianism is actually punished by death. Raping children and molesting is actually punished by death. Allah killed homosexuals in Sodom and Gomorrah. God killed homosexuals in Sodom and Gomorrah. In Babylon, in Rome, in Greece. So there's nothing wrong with teaching that or saying that, however we pull back on that. Why? I don't want to be accepted by Satan. I don't want to be accepted by the ways of this world. Like when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, I'm in the world but not of the world. So we have to actually practice what we preach and actually teach what we preach and live what we preach. And when you say that to a person, you're not actually putting them down. However, if they truly understand and truly want to come out of that way of life, you'll see that they will understand that you're not saying it out of hate, but you're saying it out of love because you don't want to see them go down a wrong road. And I'm not talking about, you know, hellfire and brimstone. AIDS and homosexuality and lesbianism actually, that leads to AIDS, STDs, HIV, syphilis, gonorrhea, all that kind of stuff. If you continue to go down that road. The prison is full of such diseases. Why? Because of that kind of behavior. And if you love someone in your family is a homosexual or a lesbian, you're not telling them that because you hate them. You're not telling them that God condemns this because you hate them. You're trying to save them. If you didn't love them, you wouldn't say anything to them. So all these influences do have a problem on our women submitting. And, like, well, I'm glad Brother cleared it up. It's you submit to that which is actually, you submit to God. But let's get this straight again. You don't submit to no damn fool neither. You don't submit to a man who is not actually submitting to Christ and God. You don't submit to a deadbeat bum or a Negro who is at home all day long playing Xbox 360, living off of you. You don't submit to that. He's not of God. He's a bum. He's nothing. He's a nobody. You don't submit to someone who ain't trying to do something in their life. But that's the problem. You see, the roles have been reversed. We actually have women who submit to Negroes who ain't doing nothing. We have women who submit to those who aren't trying to do nothing in their life or who ain't trying to offer our children knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And we don't. And yet we see the brother who's trying to do good, you don't want to submit to him. Like what Dr. Wesley said, it's called the Steve Urkel complex. We don't submit, the sisters don't submit to that which is intellectual. But if the brother has a new car or fancy jewelry and all that, she submits to that. Why? Because she likes the lifestyle of that. So all of that plays a huge part in it. I can go deeper, but I don't want to go deeper.
Yeah, you know, I have a confession. I did this on a kind of clinical study, and I know you all probably didn't notice this, but I gathered you men, and particularly because of your ages. And so I'm studying the reaction and the responses from the different age groups, because we have Brother Maurice and Brother Bishop Davis, who are in their 30s, and then we have Brother Tony, who is my age, he's in his late 40s, and then of course we have you, Brother Jihad, in your early 20s, and I'm really looking at the variation of where we are, where you brothers are in terms of age, and it's it's turning out to be a very interesting study. So thank you, Brother Jihad. I really appreciate that. And, of course, you know I love that spirit. Yes.
This is Aziza. I would like to say one more thing if I can, Queen.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to just make this plain and clear for the record.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Brother Jibril Muhammad said in his recent, not recent, but past few articles of the Final Call regarding the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he said to disrespect Minister Farrakhan means that one will misunderstand the message he has from God, the Supreme Being, Master Farah Muhammad, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who is very much alive. Now, I'm going to just say this into, you know, what you were saying earlier, Sister Aziza. Any man who disrespects the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, MGT, if you're listening to me, any man who disrespects the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan or slander him or indirectly slander him, he's not worth a damn. He's not worth you submitting nothing to. In fact, he's not even worthy of you breathing the same oxygen around him with. He's not worthy of anything. So you really have to understand that we as FOI under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan are not playing around. We will protect you. However, don't put us in harm's way to the point where it's like you're actually choosing between us and them who claim the Honorable Elijah Muhammad but slandered the minister. Don't do that. Because actually, to be honest, what you're really doing is you're committing treason. And you know what? FOI is the same thing. We need to stop trying to talk to these sisters in quote-unquote different camps. We have beautiful women under our own flag, which is the only flag, the flag under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But we need to stop trying to intermingle with one another. They think Farrakhan is a hypocrite. They think the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is a liar, a backstabber, a deceiver. So why in the hell would you want to be with a woman who thinks that way? Vice versa for the sisters. Why would you want to be with a brother who thinks that way? That really, really bothers me. And we need to stop trying to reach out to them, and they need to stop trying to reach out to us. When Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that separation is the only solution, he wasn't only talking about between black and white. He wasn't only talking about between Christian and Muslim, or whatever you want to call it. We got to realize that this is the day of righteousness versus wickedness, and we shouldn't be trying to be courting those or being intermarrying with those who hate the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is the only salvation for the black man and woman in America and across the world.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Queen, can I add a little something?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. And, you know, one thing, I think it was Brother Tony who said, you know, what would you do if the enemy would have locked me up? One thing we got to realize is we already locked up. That's the first thing. We got to realize that already. We have to understand the reality in which we live, and we have to understand the way to get out of that so that we can be birthed into a new reality. We can't keep wondering, you know, if that's the worst thing that can happen to us, that the enemy puts us in jail because we did what was right. If that's the worst thing that we have to fear, then so what? Because the problem is people do things knowing it's wrong as all get out, but because they face no consequence for doing it, they'll continue to do it. Now, I'm quite sure the next time, if that brother decides to do something out of order, it won't be that. And if it is that, he won't be as so bold to think that he's going to talk to the sister's husband and say that crap. See, the reason why a lot of disrespect and killing and stuff is going on is because nobody is held accountable to how they should be held accountable. We can't keep being afraid of every day what the enemy going to do to you or what the enemy – so freaking what? What is he going to do that he hasn't already done? When are we going to get to the point where we want free freedom. When we want real justice, equality, and independence, when are we going to get to that point? And as Brother Jihad said, it's separation. Because some of us, in our heart of hearts, the reason why they listen to these hypocritical people who denounce the minister is because in their heart of heart, they feel that way. They want that way. They don't really want to submit to what's right. They don't want to do that. So they would rather do something else and blame it on somebody else. Or this person talked me into it. Or they don't love a damn. They don't even love themselves. So we got to understand the time, and as the minister said, what must be done. We can't be, we son of Islam. We don't be walking around faggots or punks. Hell no. Muhammad makes men. And as a man, we got to stand up and do the things that it's required for men to do. Yes, we got to get our women and ourselves off the enemy's plantation. But maybe all of us are not able to do it at the same time. So as the minister taught us, you got to steal away. So you do what you can do, but you never let this enemy or anybody else disrespect you and make you think you less than what you are. No, I don't give a damn whether you're on the street or in the judge's courtroom. You whoop their ass until they understand what the truth is. And maybe it's not always physical. Maybe you whip them verbally, but you let them know who they're dealing with. This ain't no time for faggots. This ain't no time for weak men. We got to be what should be. Thank you.
That's right.
Thank you, brother Maurice. I know y'all getting emotional, but now let's just keep the focus a little bit because we are talking about the woman, and part of that is that she don't feel respected and protected, but not just in general by in society, but she doesn't feel respected and protected by black men, and that has nothing to do with nobody else. That has to do with our relationships with black men. And those relationships could stem from the beginning of time, from our fathers, our grandfathers, our perverted uncles, our cousins, our brothers. I mean, we have a lot of trust issues as women. And I did talk to some women about this before I came on here, and the sisters will be back next week. But I just wanted to get the brother's point of view. But let me just say this, and I am going to take questions and comments in a second, because we might go over tonight because we're about 24 minutes away. And let me just kind of put some stuff in here before we move on. You know, when I came up with the show after talking to Brother Jihad, talking about why the black woman refuses to submit, it's not just a struggle with obedience. There's a psychological aspect to it as well. Not only the things that she suffered in slavery, but it could be behaviors that our men learned from slavery. And so when we're talking about the trust element, how do you men handle a woman who has been molested? How do you men handle a woman who may have been raped? How do you men handle a woman that may have been physically and mentally and emotionally abused? How do you handle her? And see, it's a lot to say, well, you know, this woman is hard-headed. This woman don't submit. This woman has problems. But how do you, as a man, show her compassion, give her comfort and direction when she could be suffering from such a plight? And so I'm going to start with you, Bishop Davis, if you would. Bishop Davis, are you there? Okay, Brother Kareem, you had a comment?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum. Well, my comment is simply this, that, yes, this is, I want to thank you for the topic, thank you for the jihad, for the topic, because it is vital. It is a subject that we definitely needed to work, because it is one of the main stumbling blocks in our rise. My comment is this, that when we talk about submission, and you say, I've heard this comment many times, that I'm not submitting to anyone. Well, that's impossible, because we all submit constantly every day. There's no way you can get around submitting. It's just, as it was mentioned earlier, knowing what to submit to. Referring to the question you asked about the outside influences, and if you notice that word, the word advice, and that's the problem. They give you plenty of advice. They add whatever vice is their favorite to you. That's what their focus is, because that's where their pleasure is coming from. And so they're going to add that to you. Well, we don't need advice. We need correct guidance. And in reference to what you just talked about, how does a man deal with a woman who has been abused in all of the ways that you just talked about? We have to handle her with complete 100% and total unconditional love. And when I say love, I'm not talking about Roman antics. I'm not talking about romance. I'm talking about based upon the scripture, whichever scripture it may be, because the answers are there. We have to handle her with kindness. That means it's going to be a lot of things that you may feel you shouldn't have to take, but you're going to have to take it. Because oftentimes what you are receiving from her, of abuse from her, is not for you. It's out of the condition that she suffers from what has happened to her in the past. That is where, regardless of who may like it or not, Dianetics can help. I mean, it's just that plain and simple. That has to be, those engrams, quote-unquote, or demons, have to be removed. When you say treat her with compassion, that means that, yes, when the scripture, when the Bible talks about how many times do you forgive your brother, 70 times 7, well, how many times did you forgive your mate, your wife, your sister, who has been placed in a state of mental instability by the wickedness of someone who may have been mentally unstable himself? But the point is that she's operating out of the past, even though she may think she's in the present. Things you say, things you do, will bring that incident back up. And so, no, she don't trust, because individuals whom she was supposed to be able to trust destroying her innocence. So, yeah, if you're going to deal with her, you've got to deal with her out of love. You're going to have, like you said, compassion, but you also going to have to be very, very understanding. You're going to have to open your eyes, open your ears. You have to listen for the signs. And you're going to have to know when to be firm, and you're going to have to know when to let her just be who she is and exercise her thing. And that really wasn't what I was going to get into, but you brought it in, and that's my comment. That's what I'm going to
Thank you, Brother Kareem. And let us grab, and I want to get to, on that question, I want to get to Brother Maurice and Brother Jihad and Brother Tony and Brother Bishop had to step away for a moment. But let's take some the questions in the on the phones, and I'll answer the questions in chat right quick if I can. And
yes, ma'am.
We can proceed because we're running out of time.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I'm going to start with area code 773 because it appears they've been holding the longest. 773, your mic is live. Area code Area code 773.
I think the 773 is Brother Tony. I think that's me.
No, this is 773.
No, that's 5572 is the last of the four numbers.
Exactly, right. 5577.
Assalamu alaikum. Brother Rakim Khalik Muhammad, black man.
Oh my goodness, Lord, it must be storming.
Oh yeah, it's snowing down here, Mississippi, right about now. I'm talking, it's like hell, snow, and earthquakes going on down here, whatever.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Rakim.
Well, alaikum salam. I'm listening to the show. I'm really enjoying the show. I'm really enjoying the young flamethrower. He reminds me of a younger version of my damn self, excuse me. And I'm up.
Yeah, I should have known. Well, it is good to have you on. It's been such a long time. And, wow, that's all I can say. I'm quite surprised. What about you, Brother Kareem? I know you you got to be shocked, too. I'm like,
yeah, absolutely. Assalamu alaikum, black man.
Well, alaikum salam, man. I'm just loving this show. I've been posting on Facebook about this show, trying to get people to listen to it and everything, and it's very, very interesting topic, and I think it should be a part two of this subject because our people have been hoodwinked, bamboozled. We've been tricked, lied to, everything you can possibly name this devil has done to us through his media, through the radio, through whatever. And most of our people think that homosexuality or lesbianism is the way to go. Even the young children think the same thing. So therefore, we definitely need to expose, you know, we need more exposure of this, you know, to our...
Did we lose this other?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
You can hear me now? Okay, yes. But I'm saying we need a part two of this show, sister. We need a part two.
Well, definitely next week there will be a part two with the sisters.
We need a part two.
So I know you don't want to miss that, Brother Rakim.
No,
the sisters
no, and
are going to,
you know,
come on and talk next week.
Well, that's beautiful. I can't wait to hear it. I want to say something else that was never spoken of. Brothers out there that, you know, and they need to listen to me very well about all this faggotry that's going on. And I did say faggotry because I got no damn love for faggots. Whether you're a faggot woman or a faggot man, I got no love for you. Boy, I got to be real. But I wanted to say this. When a homosexual get close to a woman, you know, you got a lot of homosexuals who got women too. So I don't, me personally, I don't trust no woman that got a lot of faggot friends. I don't trust them. But women that have faggot friends, they sleep with faggots and they got little faggot babies growing up too. That's very true.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Listen, Gidger, I got to be real. I got to be real. Because I'm going to tell you something. These women, they think they can seduce or they think they can turn a homosexual out. And most homosexuals, some of them have bisexual tendencies and they sleep with women too. So therefore, that is something that most black men need to watch out for when they're dealing with a woman who has little faggot friends walking around. I don't believe in that, sister, and no brother should believe in that either.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
He don't like women. He like men. You're right.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Rakim.
I'm sorry. I had to say something because there's a lot of brothers walking around. They think just because the sister got a little faggot friend that he's not looking at her in that way. Well, you got faggots having children together. You know what I'm saying? And the man saying, okay, I'm going to marry this faggot woman, and I'm going to be the faggot that I am because she ain't got to worry about me and I ain't got to worry about her. We can do our thing. Nobody get mad. We both have.
Oh, wow. That's deep. Yes, sir.
That's very deep, and it's very true.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank all the guests that came on the panel tonight. I want to thank you all. You all have done a very excellent job. Brother Kareem, beautiful job as usual. Sister Gidja, I'm so proud of you, sister, and I'm not going to take too much of your time. But Nation Building Movement is on the move, and damn it, we're doing the thing, and
yes,
I love
sir.
It. We need to keep doing it. We need to keep moving.
Absolutely, and thank you.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You, Brother Rocking. Thank
oh,
you. All right, that's my twin brother, y'all. Wa alaikum salam, sir. That's my twin. He had to come in here and show his true colors. He is so funny. Okay, all right. Let's move on. Brother Tony, Brother Maurice, Brother Jihad, I want to ask you all about the respect and the protection of women. So, Brother Tony, come on and intrigue us, because
okay,
most of the women, most black women have been violated by men that they are supposed to be able to trust. And let me just tell you that most women who have had, most black women, and that's what I'm talking about, who have had negative experiences, they have been with other black men. Most black women who have been physically, mentally, and sexually abused have been so by black men. So when we talk about a black woman feeling respected and protected, how do you handle her after she's been through so much trauma? Is it right for you to expect her to know how to fall in? Because we get a lot of divorces because women are not submissive. Men don't know how to cope with what they're going through. Men think that women have attitudes or that they're crazy. But how do you deal with the woman that's been traumatized? And I'm going to go to you, Brother Tony.
I would like to make three statements. The first statement is, just so the listening audience and the panel can know, the minister was asked a question by a homosexual. He said, does a homosexual have a place in the building of the Nation of Islam, the building of a new and righteous nation? And he said, yes, you do. He said, we want to know if you can do the job. He said, if you can do the job in helping us build a nation, he said, we can deal with your homosexuality later. So I don't want the audience to be have a misunderstanding due to some of our own personal beliefs. We look at homosexuality as any other thing. Now, when I was a young Muslim, I had that same disposition. But after hearing the minister represent the messenger, in that way, my disposition changed. Second thing, the brother made reference to my statement I made about us, what would happen if we were thrown in jail. That wasn't my complete question. My complete question was, what happens if you are thrown in jail after responding in such a way? Who will protect your woman? So the point I'm trying to make is, unless we move together as a unified body, our emotional response or violent response will be of no consequence. It will leave our woman as she was before we got her, unsecured and unprotected. Last thing, when I was a young Muslim, I was one of the top fishermen by the grace of Allah. And I would bring anybody. You were a bum, sitting on the corner, drinking with no shoes on, I'll bring you to the mosque. If you were a crazy person counting horses in the sky, I would bring you into the mosque. If you was a person that just got out of the same asylum, I would bring you to the mosque, because I thought that this teaching was so powerful that Allah could heal anybody. So some of the officials stopped me and said, Brother Tony, you got to stop bringing just anybody to the mosque. So, of course, I fucked. authority. Until the minister sat down one day and he said, you can't just bring anybody to the mosque because we don't have the facility to facilitate some people with those type of conditions. So you have to be careful. So it is the same, it's the same thing with some of our women that have suffered some of these traumas. None of us as men have the expertise or the knowledge of how to properly heal her. So the best solution, I think, is the same solution that the previous brother gave, or the two responders ago. And that method would be to just give her unconditional love, patience, long suffering, and love. And if we use that, along with joining with her in prayer to the God, the ultimate healer, we may have a chance of allowing her to come through that condition.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Tony. And Brother Jahad.
Yes, ma'am. I was listening, but can you rephrase the question again, please?
Yes, sir. How would you deal with a woman who has suffered such tragedies at the hands of black men, like abuse of any kind, of all kinds?
Yes, ma'am. Well, of course, you know, you put the clean glass next to the dirty glass. I mean, if a sister is suffering such abuse, then the black man, or me in particular, I will have to try my best to make myself the polar opposite of that of what she's been with before. And for me, that's not hard at all. Because, I mean, I don't abuse women. I don't talk down on women. I don't abuse them physically, mentally, morally, spiritually. So that's really easy. You see what I'm saying? However, it's one thing to do it, but you got to keep it up. And I will have to keep that up in regards to the process of our relationship, or whatever you want to call it. I will have to continuously, not only one time. You see, that's what a lot of our relationships in the black community fall short, because, especially us brothers, we got to admit, we do this. You know, we're... if you want to talk about romantic relationship, we're roses and dinners and all that stuff. We'll pay for vows for the sister the first few weeks because we want to get to know her, but then all of that drop once you get to know her. We got to keep that up. But if a sister's abused and all that, then we definitely have to be on our post, and we have to be understanding. If the sister is, if she's been through such trauma, then we will have to try our best to understand where she's coming from. If she's emotional, understand that. If she, you know, treats you in a way, or even, hell, even if she disrespects you a little, you have to understand where she's coming from. However, you don't, you shouldn't stand there and be disrespected. You should, you know, hold your ground. However, you should still understand where she's coming from and cope with her and listen to her. That's another problem that we have as black men. We have to admit that. We don't listen to our women. We really don't. And once we listen to them and understand them, where they're coming from, then everything will work out fine. But also, Dianetics is also the key to helping our women with that problem.
Yes, sir. Okay. And Bishop Davis?
I'm up here.
Well, I've heard a lot. Please forgive me for having to step away. I had to take care of an issue. In the Christian church, women outnumber men in the Christian church usually somewhere between the numbers of 8 and 10 to 1. And usually, you know, They sometimes, depending on, you know, what denomination or what church you're in, sometimes it's even higher. And a lot of the women that are in the Christian church have come from a number of different backgrounds, from abuse as a child, abuse in a relationship with a man, you know, and many of them come for a variety of reasons, looking for some type of outlet to heal this inner emotional pain that they're dealing with because of past trauma or past situations. And unfortunately, many of them go into other relationships or newer relationships having not have dealt with these situations in a proper manner so that they can get the healing that they need so that they don't make the next brother or the next husband pay for what the last brother or the last husband did, you know, or they don't make the or they don't make their husband pay for what their daddy did to them when they were children. Well, you know, I can only offer you, you know, what I offer people all the time in regards to this question. And, of course, it's, you know, it's purely based on, you know, my faith tradition and what I believe. Number one, Jesus is a healer. And he is a healer of all bruises, all emotional, physical pain. Jesus is a healer. So one of the, you know, one of the things that I, you know, share, you know, with tons of women, both that I preach at my church, in my community, I preach the healing power of Jesus Christ. But in order for someone to be healed, it has to be something that they want. It has, you know, they have to face these painful situations. And oftentimes, black women don't want to face this pain that has, you know, overcome them or that has been a constant in their lives. But in order to be healed in the proper manner and according to Scripture, in order to be healed, you have to face and deal with these issues. You know, if you were molested or if you were raped, you know, you need to face and deal with that issue. And don't pretend like it's not there or put, you know, out of sight, out of mind, you know, put it in the back of your head. Let me further say this. In addition to Jesus healing you, you know, sometimes for certain situations, you may need some help, you know, from the secular world. You know, a therapist, a psychologist, you know, of course I recommend a Christian psychologist, but you may need some help from the secular world to deal with these pains, because sometimes these issues run so deep, they run so deep that the church atmosphere may not be adequate. And what I mean by adequate, is we may not have the time in a two-hour service to deal with this issue that you're having. You know, the preacher can only pray for you so much, you know, and so then it becomes encumbersome on you as an individual to say, okay, let me deal with this pain, because I do want to go on with life. I do want to experience what it's like to be in love. Every man is not out to get me. Every man is not a bad man. Every man is not going to treat me wrong. And I'm not going to judge every man by one bad apple. And because there are black men out there who know how to treat their women, who know how to take care of their families, who have a respect for themselves, who have a respect for their community, who have a respect for their vows in marriage, who have a respect for the family unit. There are men out there who believe in the standards of protecting his family and providing for his family, whether they're Muslim, Christian, or whatever their faith-based religious tradition is. There are black men out there. While they may be scarce, they are out there. And it is up to black men who are holding certain standards, who are practicing certain beliefs, who are living certain lifestyles. It is up to us in return to turn to other black men and do our best to help them get where we are, to show them the way, whatever that way is, to show them the way that, yeah, you can be a black man with integrity. You can be a black man that will take care of your family. You can be a black man that does not strike his woman. You know, it takes us, black men who are living this particular lifestyle, it takes us to infiltrate other black men, to show them this is the way, this is how you do this, this is how you be a black man, this is how you take care of your family. But again, as I stated in the beginning of this conversation, when we first began to dialogue, oftentimes the problem, not only just for black women, but black men, oftentimes the problem is we have not had anyone to role model this in front of us. The average black household grows up without a man in it. So because we have not had someone to role model this in front of us, we haven't had a daddy to say, son, you don't hit women. Son, this is how you treat your sisters and your mama. Son, this is how you talk to them. We haven't had a role model to say to us, this is how it goes. This is what you do. And because we haven't seen those role models, we constantly see this same cycle in the black community over and over and over, where sons are growing up without being raised. They're raising themselves. And then we wonder why, and if they're not raising themselves, then the streets is raising them. And so then we wonder why our prisons are filled with, we are the minority in this country, but we're the majority in the prison system. We wonder why that is the case. So if you're dealing with a woman that is broken, which in the average black family, and of course, I'm just talking from statistics, you know, studies that I've done over the years. In the average black family, the woman has been broken, you know, out of a relationship at least once. So if you're dealing with a woman that is broken emotionally, you know, or that is dealing with a past of hurt and abuse, I would say, as a Christian man, number one, you need to learn how to pray. You need to learn how to pray for her. Because only God can show you how to handle her and how to deal with her. You need to learn how to pray. And you need to learn how to pray specifically for this woman. If you're in love with her, if she's to be your wife or she is your wife, you need to learn how to pray specifically for her in this area. Because not only are you the protector and the provider, as Scripture says, you're also the priest. You're the priest of the home. The husband, the person who is the band around the house, who holds the house together. That's what husband is, a husband, the person who bands the house, who holds it together. So as priest of your home, you pray for her. You ask God to give you insight on how to deal with her, how to treat her in the right manner, in the right nature. And then not only that, you not only pray for the Lord and asking God how to deal with you and treating her, you pray that she learns how to respect and deal with you. So I would say you need to learn how to pray toward those matters. You need to learn how to stay in the face of God and ask God for the wisdom and knowledge to be the best husband you can be when it comes to this situation. And remember that Jesus is a healer. No matter what, he can heal. So as a Christian pastor, you know, as a Christian, as a man of God, you know, to me, prayer is everything. It's everything in how we deal with all situations. And I think we discussed this in some detail in our last call. You know, a man needs to know how to pray. And if he allows God to lead him in the proper manner, God will show him how to deal with and handle and manage and protect and provide for and be the priest for the woman God has given you.
Yes, sir. Beautiful, beautiful, Brother Bishop. Thank you so much. And Brother Kareem, we have gone over time, but I'm not going to leave the audience out. I have to allow them to ask their questions. So if you would, go ahead and let's take the questions from the phone.
Yes, ma'am. All praise be to God. Will do. Okay. Area code 513, your mic is live.
Yes,
can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Assalamu alaikum,
ma'am.
I really, I'm enjoying this whole conversation coming from, because it's so real and it's something that we need.
Thank you, ma'am.
And I agree with the brother who was one of the guests. I agree with everything that everybody was saying. However, one of the callers, he was saying that we need a part two, you know, and I agree, you know, there needs to be some things that the woman has to say as well.
Yes, ma'am.
And one brother touched on a little bit as far as how I'm concerned about men not wanting to listen to women. And
yes,
that's one of the biggest problems.
Oh, yeah, I think next week is going to be very interesting. Well, okay, sister, well, we'll be right here next week, but next week it will be the sisters that will be on talking about this issue. So call in, and if you're on Facebook, look me up under Queen Aziz Mariam, and if you want to be a panelist, you know you're welcome.
Well, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm on Facebook and I'm on the phone too, so I make sure I don't miss out on anything.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, well, look me up, Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad, and if you're interested in being a panelist, let me know.
Oh, yes, ma'am. All right. Well, thank you all again, and I appreciate it, Sister Aziza. I appreciate every last one of you. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, we're
going to
move right. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead to the next question.
Yes, ma'am. No problem. I'm going to right here. That's area code 706. And as soon as it, there might be rise.
Hey, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How's everybody doing, family? I know we're late into the show. I'll definitely be catching part two and four. I got in maybe 45 minutes late, so I apologize. But it's been definitely excellent hearing about something that is a sensitive issue when we start talking about, you know, the issues and problems with the sexes, with the genders. But I did want to say, if it's okay, you know, regardless of the influences that are affecting our sisters, all of them fall under the umbrella, whether it be bitter women or homosexuals or anything. All of it falls under the misguidance and teaching that Satan has spread over the whole earth. And so even though these are affecting, they're very small influences, because they pale to the example of a good man, and a man that is striving to live a righteous life by the teachings of all of the prophets and the guidance that he has left us, especially under the teaching and training of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So I wouldn't put much, and this is out of personal experience, I wouldn't put much stock in our women who have to talk to or take advice from negative influences, because they really pale in comparison into what the teachings do for us. And when we be that example, as the bishop said, it makes a difference, you know. And all of those people, the bitter women or the homosexual or anyone who is speaking out of this ignorance, even they will see that example. And you will see them start to draw from that wisdom as well, you know, if I'm making sense, just on that particular topic. But definitely everything that I heard today was excellent. And I can't wait till next week. And I'm sorry, Queen Aziz, I was late catching the first beginning. I'll definitely watch and listen to the replay to see what I missed. But I just wanted to say that. And this one just makes up known and tell everybody I love you. I'll see you later.
I love you too, Brother Eddie, and thank you for calling in. That's my little brother Eddie from Augusta, Georgia. It's so good to hear his voice. Okay, Brother Kareem, we have any more questions?
Got one more here. Again, it's area code 773-5572. And that's all, those are all I've
seen. You call me back out again, Black Man.
Okay, well, yeah, that's it. That was the last one on the line.
Okay. All right.
I'm still here.
Well, we didn't get a chance to cover everything, so maybe at some point I'm going to have to bring these brothers back because we had a bunch of questions in Google Chat, Yahoo Chat, and Blog Talk, and I did not get a chance to get to them. I'm so sorry, but maybe one day soon we can get this group of brothers back with us and we can finish this topic. You know, I just want to sum it up a little bit, you know. Like I said, the topic was given to me by Brother Jihad, but I really had to do some thinking about us as women. And Brother Jihad was coming from a place. He was coming from a place of where a lot of our sisters in the nation, in particularly, have been misled by men who claim to be believers are followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings, and sometimes that's not the case. And of course, we believe in, you know, believers marrying believers. However, we have the perfect example in the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. We are a universal people. We have to deal with our people all over the world, irregardless of their faith, irregardless of their culture, because we are still bound by circumstance, irregardless to what our faith is, irregardless to what our race is. This country, this white devil has victimized us all. And so we have to come together with first and understanding. And I did this show in particularly to show that brothers have some compassion towards women, even though we didn't really get a chance to talk about it. A lot of this comes from Facebook, I know, because women appear to be rebellious, but, you know, we are quick to point that out, but we are, you know, we don't really take the time to find out where does that degree of rebellion come from. And oftentimes we want to give a sermon, we want to try to redirect, we want to try to teach them other ways to go or the right way to go. But when a person is hurting, then they can't hear you. That's just like if you're hungry, you can't study, you can't focus on the lesson because your stomach is hurting or your stomach is growling. It's the same thing when you're in pain. A lot of times, even in our faith practices, we don't want to submit because everything we've ever experienced has let us down. And everybody has a degree of faith. Now, that word hypocrite is used very loosely, but I'm not one to use that word because our degree, our faith comes in degrees. So if you have the faith of a mustard seed, then it doesn't mean that you're not a believer. It doesn't mean that you're a hypocrite. It just means that you might have little faith. But faith has an opportunity to grow once it is fed. And that's just like with anything else. We have to grow. We have to develop people. And we can't lose patience. In the lessons or in the series that the minister has given us, the 52-week series, the time of what must be done, the first thing he said was that we need to exhort one another to patience and exhort one another to truth. That was the first thing he said. Well, that instruction has not gone away, and certainly not with our own people. So I just want to encourage my brothers to be patient with our sisters. Sisters, be patient with our brothers. We are all striving. None of us have arrived. So let's continue to love one another, be patient with one another, extend that love to one another, and let's just take the time and help one another heal. Irregardless of our faith base, we are all a people bound in the hells of North America, and we are all victims of some sort of madness. So we all have it. So inshallah, we'll be able to come back and finish this topic, of course, with the sisters. But I want to have the brothers back too, but I have to get them on a more sensitive topic in order to get them to talk where I need them to talk, I see. But I want to thank my distinguished panelists, Brother Tony Muhammad, Brother Jihad Ali, Brother Maurice, and certainly Brother Bishop Davis, who has been with us for the last couple of weeks. And Brother, I want to once again say to you, happy birthday, which is coming up in a couple of days, and of course, happy 25th anniversary on your ministry. May God continue to bless you in all of your endeavors. You are doing wonderful, wonderful works in St. Louis. Brother, we thank Allah for you for just putting you in the midst and doing what you're doing, and you are a role model and an example for all of us. So thank you again, Bishop Davis. And of course, you know, you're not going anywhere. You gotta come back again, so you know that, right?
Almost, yeah.
Thank you so much. And Brother Tony, I'll get that coffee to you in a minute, I promise. Word is bond. So thank you again,
yes,
Brother Tony, for really did change my mind. So I will publicly say that my dear beloved Brother Tony out of Joliet, Illinois, is not a male chauvinist. He is a wonderful, compassionate brother, and I really enjoyed speaking with you yesterday, and that's why I say communication rules a nation, because I really had him pegged all wrong. And Brother Gary can tell you that. I talk about you all the time. I say he's just a chauvinist. He just... But thank you. Thank you, Brother Tony, for proving me wrong. Thank you. And it's good getting to know you better. And Brother Maurice, is he still with us? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for your work with the Defenders of Farrakhan. I think we lost Brother Jihad, but you and Brother Jihad, thank you all for your work with the Defenders of Farrakhan, which, you know, I'm a part of that group, but I just want to say to Brother Maurice and Brother Jihad, they're always at the forefront, and thank you for standing up and holding it down for the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. Thank you so very much. And Brother Kareem, my right-hand man, Vice President of the Nation Building Movement, thank you, brother, for stepping in. And brother Eugenio, I see you out there. I'm going to call you and answer all your questions. And thank you, Brother Eddie, for calling in. So I leave you as I came before you in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum, one nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum salam.